This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums. Flats and Shanks.
Shoot. I will shoot. I'll shoot whenever I want. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
All right, Tom.
Hi, Dave.
You all right?
Yeah, okay, mate. You?
Yeah, bit of a sore throat, actually, which is I've had for a couple of weeks now.
Too much talking, too much mic hogging.
Yeah, too much mic. That is literally what it is. And I've got I'm hosting three dinners the next three nights. So my throat is hurting right now. So I'm very, very worried about my problems. Yeah, how are you?
Is that because you burst into song?
Or I can't help it. I'm like Brian Blessed sometimes.
Gordon's alive?
Yeah,
name another film he's in.
Brian Blessed.
Apart from Flash Gordon.
Has he been in any others?
Yeah. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Was he?
Yeah, he's Robin Hood's dad at the start. Isn't he? Goes out to face the sheriff in Nottingham. They're all in masks. And they kill him.
They kill Brian Blessed?
But Duncan, his slave, was butler. If you had butlers in those days, he survives and then he gets blind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, jumps on the back of a horse.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's later on, actually.
Okay.
Anyway, we're hosting a dinner this week, aren't we?
Friday night.
Yeah.
Welsh lacrosse team.
Yeah.
The Welsh lacrosse team, the Welsh ladies lacrosse team dinner, and we're doing it as a favour to a couple of very good friends, and
Am I hosting it as well, or is it just, are you hosting it?
We're co-hosting it, mate.
Okay, so we have to think of some sort of script, otherwise
we're screwed, mate.
I mean, we can't just sit behind a table with a computer and some microphones.
It's going to be a shambles.
Yeah.
But they're not paying us, so it's like, you know, it's all right if it's a shambles.
You can say what you want.
We're sitting with Nigel Ray, though, because it's at Allianz Park. We're sitting with Nigel Ray, so we've got to be our best behaviour.
He's the owner of Saracens and also the Trocadero in London.
And like I always like to remind him, bought my first two houses for me. Thanks, Nigel.
Yeah, I mean,
never saw a penny for it. What have you been up to, mate? You've been in Doha.
Doha, yeah.
How's that?
Well, can't get a gig here, can I? So I've got to go all the way to the Middle East.
Nuggets hogging it all, that's why.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, covered the games out in Doha for BeIN Sports.
How's that?
All right, it was good actually.
Hot.
It was 26 degrees. They had some floods recently, but luckily the weather followed me out there. So it was okay.
Did you...
So I did it with Steve Thompson.
That's it.
Tomo's out there. He lives in Dubai.
Tomo is three times bigger than me now.
He's huge.
He's enormous, isn't he?
Yeah. Good value.
He suits it, though.
And Malo Kelly.
Okay.
Remember Malo Kelly?
Yeah,
second row for Leinster.
Oh, yeah.
British Lion 2005, you know, on the main tour, the tough tour.
Very popular guy, Malo Kelly, from all accounts.
Tour everyone talks about. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he is. Real nice guy, mate. Mm. Real nice guy. He's into camping and stuff like that. You know, he bought his goggles for a swim in the sea.
Did he?
Yeah, he said he couldn't see anything.
Practical kind of guy?
Okay. Yeah, and crashed into a rock, cut his leg.
Oh.
He's probably infected by now.
Could be the end of him.
Yeah.
God, that'd be awkward, wouldn't it?
Like that guy in Mutiny. Been watching Mutiny?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's Chris, isn't it, or something? Yeah, but he's a dick, that guy.
Yeah.
Like he's not a team player.
He's got a real psycho look about him, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not a team player, that's the thing. Mal O'Kelly was a team player.
I mean, these people might not know that we did our last video.
These people, they've got names.
Yeah, okay.
Listeners.
Listeners, we did our last video last week, didn't we, for the BBC?
Yeah.
In the Welsh camp. Yeah. All the lads. God, you should have seen it off camera.
With Warbers.
God, just trying to give us free kit all the time.
J-Rob.
Free stash.
The best thing was, we got Reese Webb, the scrum half, to be in this video, and he was like, what are we doing then, lads? I was like, because that's my accent. And I was like, we want you to come out of a spa, right? And if you come out of a spa like you just had a treatment, and you say, thanks, ladies, and walk past and give us a funny look. He was like, what am I wearing? I was like, your robe. And he was kind of like, yeah. I'm thinking he won't want to do it because he's a big name international player and it's pretty serious time of year and stuff. And basically, he would only do it if he didn't have to do it up so everyone could see his six pack.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say no. He wanted to make sure he didn't have to have anything on.
So they were up for being in the videos only if Reese Webb could show his abs, Sam Warburton could have immense weight on the bar, and Jamie Roberts basically said he'd let us know later in the day as to how he was feeling.
Yeah, he woke up and he told the media guy, this is how Jamie Roberts has changed, didn't it, over the years, Shanks. Shanks' best friend for years, for a generation in the Welsh team.
Taught him everything.
Taught him lots of stuff. And he said, the pressman, we got there and the pressman said to us, Jamie told me at breakfast he'll make a decision later on whether he'll be in your video or not, depending on how he feels.
All he wanted to do was him to stand up and walk away.
Yeah, that was it.
I think he's a little bit nervous, mate. You know,
do you reckon?
Yeah, he's got a lot on his mind, isn't he? He's on the bench at the moment. The Lions tour's coming up.
Yeah. You know? We actually, on that BBC video, somebody watched it, other than my mum. David Ormsby watched it, and he emailed us and said, can you verify what weight you and Warbers were pressing in the recent BBC sketch? It's not a sketch, mate. It's behind-the-scenes insight. I don't call it a sketch. It's not a fast show.
It's a documentary.
220 kilos, which to some people is heavy, to some people is not, but when you're in the gym sort of a few days a week, the weight gradually creeps up, and before you know it, you're lifting quite a lot of weight, but you know.
I mean, you did bounce a little bit off your chest, but you know, you still got the weight up.
Yeah, so. But I was wearing chinos and a check shirt. So
yeah, yeah.
Not my normal lifting gear with my bench press suit and smelling salts.
What have you been up to?
You asking them or me?
You.
Tom, it has been... I was at the Anglo-Welsh final on Sunday, which is a really good game between Leicester and Chiefs. Leicester won it. It was a really good game. Leicester were really, really good. Good for the victory and all that. But after the game, I was there with Andy Goode. And Goody was talking to Aaron Major. And I was kind of within earshot. I was next to them. Perfectly normal chat. Nothing controversial or whatever, but he was what I heard Aaron Major talking about was thinking about recruitment for next season, what positions they were going to look to strengthen, the sort of guys they were really keen. I know I did hear him say he was really disappointed that Freddie Burns was leaving Leicester because he thinks he's a great guy and a great player. And
yeah.
I kind of turned around and nodded and said, I agree, actually, know Freddie a little bit from his Bath days and all that stuff. And he was talking about recruiting for next season and what the structure of the club might look like. And the next morning he's been sacked. It was that brutal.
So he was sacked?
Yeah. He's gone, mate. He's gone. So I say sacked. He's been told, you are not here next season. So, I mean, why would he stay past next weekend? So he's gone after next weekend. It's just absolutely savage. I mean, whew. Matt O'Connor, is, on the face of it, in terms of what he's done at Tigers before, is a really good appointment. But
yeah, well, we got Matt Scott on Twitter said, can you explain the logic and the lack of common sense / loyalty in the sacking of Major, especially after Sunday's win? I mean, this was obviously decided before Sunday's game.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
You know, this is probably decided a month or so ago.
Yeah. The logic, I mean, the thing is, they always know more than we know. And just because we wouldn't have done it, doesn't mean they're wrong to do it, because they know a lot more than we know. I'm talking about the board of Leicester Tigers here, so Ben Kay et al. And they know a lot. They know a lot about the club. They know a lot more than Aaron Major about Leicester Tigers as a rule, because they've been there longer and all that. So they, Aaron Major is seemingly very, very popular with the players. So lots of players have openly tweeted about social media, posted on social media about how disappointed they are he's left.
Yeah.
They've openly said gutted for Mage, hashtag bigger picture, you know. So Toulouse Vaney's like properly gone for it. The boys are properly not happy he's been done sacked, whatever. But the board must have seen, the senior members, senior management of Leicester Tigers must have seen something in him, or not have seen something that suggests he can run a big club long term. They said, can he run it? And is he prepared to play second fiddle, be an assistant coach, be demoted? Is Matt O'Connor prepared to have someone like him there?
Mm.
And he's very popular, but the board didn't see him as a viable option to effectively run Leicester Tigers rugby.
When you're talking about the board, mate, you're not talking about idiots. You know, you're talking
bright
about
people, yeah. Really bright. Like, you know, if I didn't think Ben Kay was bright, I wouldn't mention him. He is an incredibly bright man, very sensible, not on the piss, I must say. He's a child on the piss, but very, very bright, really, really intelligent, really, really measured in his opinions, which comes out when he commentates and talks about the game. So he's probably the best, if not one of the best voices we've got in rugby, and that's not by accident. So, you know, him and a lot of other very, very bright people, I sat in on a Bath rugby board meeting once when there was a board there. I accidentally sat in on it. And
what, you mean you were hiding?
I bought the tea in a little pinny. But they, I was just thinking, these are properly bright human beings. There were four blokes and three women, I think, I can't remember all of their names. They were properly bright, cutting through all the crap. So they don't think Aaron Major was the right guy to run that club's rugby department. So,
okay.
I don't know. It seems brutal. It is brutal. But Leicester Tigers have always been brutal.
What else have you been up to? Where did you watch your games?
I did this thing where... Did Super Saturday, the last day of the Six Nations. I did it in a pub in Battersea called The Lighthouse, which is a really nice
lad
pub, actually. No, I did it with BT Sports. I wasn't boozing. And, it, you know, so we sit and watch the games and the crowd react and you chat to people in the crowd and whatever. It was a really good day. It was a long old day, mind. But I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if it worked. I think it's on this Wednesday. So it's Tuesday now, isn't it? It's
Who's on tomorrow it with night. You?
Just me.
Okay.
And punters. And
just trying to make friends of you again.
Yeah. But you know, there are points when you think this is a great crack, and there are points when you think I've worked really hard to kind of, you know, the beginnings of trying to forge sort of the early stages of a career for myself, and I'm now interviewing a 3-month-old baby in a pub in an Ireland shirt.
Yeah, blokes just pointing at you and laughing and whispering.
Yeah, and I've dignity flushed down the gents, but it was actually really good fun. I don't know what it looks like yet. But
oh, well, when's it on, mate?
I think it's on Rugby Tonight, Wednesday night, tomorrow night, tonight, whatever day you're listening to it. Yesterday. It was on yesterday. So, what were you doing in Doha? You were a pundit, were you?
Yes. Just watching the games, mate.
Suited and booted?
Suited and booted.
Did you go out afterwards?
No. Went back to the hotel.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of beers. There's no way to go out in Doha, mate. It's Qatar. There's no pubs, clubs. There's bars in the hotel. We can have a couple of beers after. But because they're 3 hours ahead, by the time you finish, it's quite late.
Yeah.
So we just went back, had a couple of beers, relaxed, and went to bed.
100 press-ups.
Because we are mental.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, read a book.
Mind you, don't want to go and spend your whole fee on piss, do you?
No, it is expensive.
You want to bring some money back as well.
You're talking like £12, £13 a beer.
That's bath that's prices,
for a,
mate.
That's for a bottle of beer.
That's bath prices, mate. No, that's bad. That's bad times.
Yeah.
Especially when you drink as much as you do, dominator.
Saw David Platt, he was out there.
Platty?
Platto.
Platto. That's not the best nickname, that, is it?
Gail's son. he was coming the Prem League. Yeah, he's had a...
His mum's a hairdresser, wouldn't she? His dad was a horse groomer, from what I remember. Wig maker, anyway.
you say that, mate. He's had his hair weave.
Has he?
Yeah. And a little bit sewn in.
Yeah, but you can't be called Platty and then be bald, can you?
He's got a little. He wears a little chain around his neck as well, which I noticed.
That's a funny one.
I pick up on everything. No, but you don't know what sentimental value that would
have. Okay, so let's not slag it off.
Let's not. No, no. But he wore one. He was out there. Did it with Angus Scott, right? He used to work for ITV. He does loads of the football out there and the rugby and all the sports. Really, it's really good. Good bloke.
Good fella.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I did do the other day. I forgot about this. I went deer stalking and gin tasting with Todd Blackadder.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. And Hoops was there as well, wasn't
and
he?
And Hoops, yeah. Matt Powell, the old Worcester scrum half. So we're all kind of, three of us are mates, and Todd is obviously working at Bath with Stuart Hooper. So it's pure social. So really early start from Bath. Went deer stalking in Hereford without actually doing any deer stalking. So the guy was like, we're going out now. Do you want a gun, Flats? And I said, no thanks, I'm all right. Just not really... I don't judge because everything they shoot, they eat up there on the estate, but it's not my cup of tea, really.
If it bleeds, you can kill it.
Yeah, basically. If it bleeds. Yeah, so no deer, but had a nice walk in the country for 3 or 4 hours. And then we went to the Chase Distillery. They're one of Bath's sponsors, I think, which is how we got the gig. But we went vodka and gin tasting, and they got all sorts of booze there, and it was class. We went out for dinner in Hereford. You think, how good can dinner in Hereford be? Amazing. Todd Blackadder can really drink.
Did you see any SAS there?
Yep, SAS dads they call them. Yeah, there was some SAS about.
Is it because you didn't see them, you saw them?
Weirdly, I've been to a couple of SAS events. I was at an SAS event 2 weeks ago, but I've been to their boxing dinner a couple of times in Hereford. And there's one bloke who just... SAS don't look like SAS as a rule. The ones I know, the SBS guys, the ones I've known over the years.
Who do you know?
I know... Well, I can't tell you his name.
I know two. Do you know?
I know more than that.
I know Andy
McNabb.
Chris Ryan.
There you go, right. So they look like normal guys, but this guy looks like a meathead, and he wears a massive shiny watch with diamonds in it and stuff. And you recognise this guy, and he's made it big in private security. And I just walked into a pub and I saw him. And I was like, Steve. And he was like, hey, how's it? And I was like, boys, it's Steve from the SAS. He's like, shh. Anyway, we got
His name's not Steve, by the way.
His name's not Steve. We've got a pretty lash cut card. And what made me think of it is that Todd Blackadder wears like a rope around his neck with a bit of like bone on it, like a kiwi.
Okay. Thingy. Yeah.
I've met him to say hello to before. I've never spent any time with him.
Probably like Moana. She wears that.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But some of you might know that. Some of you might.
But the listeners of this podcast will not be surprised to hear me describe Todd Blackadder as a very good bloke.
Okay.
Not going to go over the top, but he's very, very good company, straight shooter. And I mean, I'm not a massive drinker. I'm not a heavyweight drinker, but I can have a pint with the best of them, except Jason Leonard. But it seemed like every pint I had to neck the second half of it because he was, you're round, sweetheart. Hey, sweetheart. But all night. It's like, Jesus, just relentless.
He likes you then.
I think he likes me, yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. So as you know, we've got Leo Vegas Bet of the Week coming up, where we bet on one of the fixtures, normally rugby, always rugby, and all the proceeds, if we win, go towards charity.
When we win, because we're experts. We used to play a bit.
Tell them the charity.
Children in Need.
Yeah.
They get the dough.
So this special, unique bet will be on the Leo Vegas website. So get onto leovegas.com. Go onto the rugby page and you'll see this bet. All the T's and C's obviously apply. You've got to make sure you're over 18. That's the biggie.
Do you know when like at the greyhounds or the horses, suddenly loads and loads of people start pumping loads of money on one horse or dog, and the odds on it change? What we're doing here is going to have such a massive impact on national betting on Premiership rugby? Do you think that it's going to? Are we going to completely skew the odds here?
It's going to. It's either going to be our finest hour.
Yeah.
Or worst.
I'm just thinking about the kids, mate.
Yeah. Well, the game we're going to bet on is Northampton-Leicester.
Yeah.
And this weekend at Franklin's Gardens. Sorry. Force of habit.
Can I pick a winner?
Yeah, no. We've picked a winner.
All right.
But you're going to say what it is.
Leicester by 2 points.
Yes. So, Leicester have to win the game by more than 2 points.
Okay.
Minus two. Or Leicester minus 1.5, I think.
So they've got to win it by 2 points or more?
Yes.
Right, okay. So that's quite big. That's quite a big shout.
Yeah.
But we are bold guys, aren't we?
Especially off the back of Leicester's win.
Yeah.
The weekend. Not that they'll use a lot of that team.
But I'm thinking it's Aaron Major's last game. Sorry, Mage. It's Major's last game. And I think a few guys that will want to send him out with a smile.
Go on a high.
Internationals, Tommy, Six Nations, let's get it done. Scotland 29, Italy 0 at Murrayfield. Enjoy it?
Did enjoy it. I thought Scotland went out well at the end. Sent off Vern Codder, and I loved Vern Codder's emotional speech at the end.
Loved that guy.
That emotional, he couldn't speak.
Love that guy.
I know.
I'm not even Scottish, and I'm gutted. I'm really glad Gregor Townsend's got the job, but I'm really gutted Vern Codder hasn't, aren't you?
Mm. It's a shame that they both can't do it, isn't it? Yeah. But no, look, Scotland scored 4 tries. They got bonus point. All the tries were scored by backs, which gives you a bit of an inkling into how Scotland are playing and their strengths. You know, their strengths used to be their pack, their line-out, their scrum, their breakdown. Never used to be the backs. But like we said, they found a classy 10 in Finn Russell. Tommy Seymour played well. Visser played well.
Do you reckon Seymour and Russell are lions? We know Hogg's a lion.
Potentially one of them. I don't think both of them will go. But you know, Scotland are creating opportunities now and finishing them. I mean, what doesn't help is Italy could not score any points kicking a goal. Carlo Canna missed 3 kicks.
Carlo cannot.
Exactly. Missed 3 kicks. It's just... They've gone backwards, I think. You know, back in the day, you know, they used to have like Gonzalo Canali, Andrea Massi, you know, decent quality players in that back line. Now you look at it,
and Cicero in the front row.
They've got McLean at 12, Luke McLean.
Yeah.
I mean, he's featured at 15.
Luke McLean right now, I'm covered in chocolate. Luke McLean, good.
Yeah, we get it. Esposito was pretty horrendous. Mate, fly into it, mate. They don't listen to the podcast.
No Italians listening. They're awful. They're bad people. And they hate animals. And they don't take care of the elderly.
So they were really woeful, I thought, Italy.
Yeah, they offered absolutely nothing.
Look, I don't think we take that away from
Scotland's. I wonder if they've gone backwards or if everyone else has moved on and they don't actually have the ability to move on.
Is that I think both.
For Conor O'Shea,
yeah. I think both.
Genuine worry that they don't have many good players at that level, frankly. Their best players are Parise, of course, who plays in France, and Campagnaro doesn't even get in the Exeter team.
Well, he's injured at the moment, but you know, most of these players are playing in for Treviso and Zebra.
Maybe boys, not having it. So
getting absolutely walloped every week.
But I'm glad Scotland went out on a relative high. Well done.
Yeah, it was good
to watch.
It was good.
Right, let's do it. France hammered Wales 2018. Absolutely justified win. Better team on the day, yeah?
I think it could have gone either way, boy. France certainly came out firing. We were all over Wales in the first half, and Wales did a pretty good job to stay 1 point behind come half time, and they were right in it to the end. It was obvious, you know, by the scoreline. But
the last 20 minutes then.
What I will say is France outscored Wales 2 tries to 0, which is worrying. Wales scored 8 tries this whole campaign, mate, and hold on, Give me a sec. 1.6 tries per game.
Well done,
Six
mate.
Nations.
Well done.
Yeah. You know, words don't come to you, but maths, you know, it's just...
You see numbers, don't you? How do you like them apples?
You ever see The Matrix right at the end? Yeah. He gets it? It's like that in my head. But yeah, so it's a real worry.
You actually look like the exact opposite of... Is it Lawrence Fishburne who's in that? What's his name?
Morpheus.
You're the exact opposite of Morpheus. You're like a Warpheus.
But anyway, back to it, mate. Stay with it.
Right, one thing I know for sure is Wayne Barnes doesn't listen to podcasts.
Okay.
So...
Right, here's my thoughts in the end, right?
Yeah.
Last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Last 20 minutes. Obviously, you can't end a game on a penalty. I thought... I don't know that much about scrummaging, mate, but he seemed to get the calls right. There was a lot of early engagement by Wales, pushing too early. France did have... the shunt ahead, possibly not enough to warrant a penalty try, because by the time the penalty was awarded, they'd stopped. What is really dodgy is the substitute of Antonio.
Yep.
Now, Wayne Barnes was 100% correct in that as well, making sure, you know, if a doctor tells a ref, one of their players has an HIA, who is the ref to say no? You cannot stay on. What I did really like was the French team doctors. Yeah, cool. And
yeah.
Wayne Barnes was very clear about it.
Yeah,
there's been some gamesmanship going on there, and there will be no doubt full investigation going on. There was also then the bite
that never was. The bite of which we never saw the angle from the French director.
And there's three things when it comes to a bite that a ref has to look at. Was it
was it hunger led? What were those half-time snacks?
Was it an opposing player? Was it the player himself? Or was it a player from the same team? They're the three. And a supporter.
Right? A touch judge.
Yeah. They're the three things he has to look at. Now, I agree his wording wasn't right when he asked for a fourth official. Has George North been bitten? Was it a French team or did he do it himself? Look, I think you cannot blame Wayne Barnes. There's possibly one area in that last 20, he gave Wales not being back 10 metres when they were on their line.
Yep.
And I think they were on their line. And also, for me, mate, Vakatawa, that yellow card, which resulted in the sin bin, 1,000,000% should have been a penalty try. You cannot give that knockdown, a yellow card, and a penalty without giving the try.
What cover was coming across?
There wasn't enough cover coming across. No, you look at the wide angle.
Was there any cover?
There was some cover.
Right.
Not enough. Not enough to get there. No way.
Okay.
So apart from that.
But the old, they're not back 10, it was Reese Webb and one other, wasn't it? That were back 10. Was it Faletau and Webb?
I think they were getting their way back. Tipperick was on
Tippers,
the line.
Tippers.
They come off the line.
Yeah, so anyway, they're back. They are back 10, but ultimately that was one of those penalties that didn't lead to a penalty try.
No.
So, okay, he gave a penalty when he shouldn't have done. That is actually quite an easy mistake to make. But if that was one of the penalties that contributed to a cumulative penalty version of a penalty try, then there's a real issue.
And also, they didn't get a pushover scrum, did they?
No,
they didn't get a penalty try for scrum. No. So
I think this is all opinion, right? So we're not saying these are facts. I don't know the facts. My opinion is pretty simple on it, is that as soon as France got that penalty near the line, a penalty near the line, and you knew they were going to take the scrum, there's a clip on the TV where you see Johan Maestri and Damian Schuele straight into Unai Antonio, revving him up. We used to call it pumping his tyres up. There are certain props, the best props. So if you're with Dan Cole, Julian White, Kean Healy, Owen Franks, you don't say a word to those guys. You might give them a tap on the arse. Come on, Franksy. Come on, Whitey. That's it. You don't need to speak to those guys because they know what they're doing and you know they're going to deliver. Or you believe in them. Sometimes everyone goes backwards. So as soon as they're going into him, I was sitting with some lads in this pub and one of them said, oh, he's psyching him up. I said, they're not psyching him up. They don't believe in him. They don't believe in him because he's 6'6 and 25 stone, but he's a big old pudding of a prop. Like he's a big, strong guy.
Before those scrums, right, he was at a guard. He was flopping around. He carried. Yeah, he had one little carry, which made about 20.
He was done. Meters. And he's bigger than he is good. But to be honest, he's obviously good, but he's bigger than he is good. Slimani is twice the prop he is, and they've taken him off. So as soon as that happened, not because I'm a know-it-all, just because I played in the front row and a bit of a know-it-all, I said to the guys around me, you watch him. He's looking for a way out. He is looking for a way out. And sure enough, they got him off. All the talk about HIA, Barnsley can do nothing as ref. He's got to let him go. Complete balls. They are get there cheating, faking concussion to get him off and get the strong scrummager on. Then, so this whole thing continues, right? So then you've got Wales have got Samson Lee off for a yellow. I'm hopefully getting all this right.
Yeah, you are right.
8 times. And Tommy Francis, the Exeter tight head, is on the bench and he's looking stony face, full on poker face, because he has obviously been given the word, or he knows, I don't want to go back on there, because if I don't, it's uncontested scrum and their best chance of scoring is gone. So he's sitting there, I'm not going back on. Barnsley then calls him out and says, was he injured or was he replaced? They are, make no mistake, they are trying to not put Francis back on. Make no mistake, this is my opinion. I think they are trying to keep Francis off if they possibly can. They can't, they get caught on it. He has to go on and scrummage. In the end, does all right. So then you've got after the game, you've got Warren Powley talking about the integrity of the game and all that. And I agree, it's awful. Using a fake, what I think, allegedly, it was inverted commas, fake concussion.
Nor did the doctor walk down with Antonio.
No, he'd wandered in.
Yeah,
on so his they own. Obviously weren't giving him an HIA.
But there was one of the coaches in the French technical area, stepped out of the technical area to speak to the doctor, which you're not allowed to step out of the technical area.
Yeah.
Went and spoke to the doctor, and then within seconds, the doctor was on the field.
Yeah, so my view, and it's not fact, my view is that they cheated to get Antonio off, and Wales then tried for a couple of seconds to cheat to keep Francis off, but couldn't, so got him on. Then you've got Howley talking about integrity of the game having been compromised. I feel reasonably confident that Wales too were trying to cheat and keep Francis off. If not for that long, they didn't try that hard. Also, and I say this as, you know, a lover of, lots of my very good mates play for Wasps in the era I'm talking about. But Wasps for me are one of the very reasons there are now two props on the bench in every professional game, because the amount of times against Leicester mainly, but also against us at Bath when we had a half decent scrum, they would go uncontested with one prop on the bench was ridiculous. And yeah. One guy said to me on Twitter, that opinion is a load of bollocks. I just asked the question. I said, hang on a minute. Sean Edwards was there. He was doing it. He was running that show when Wasps were doing it. So don't give it, or be careful when you're talking about integrity of the game when one of your best mates and presumably and one of your coaches has done it repeatedly at club level. Then, firstly, everyone pushes the limits. So I'm not having a pop at anyone. I'm saying actually just be careful whose integrity you question, you know. So, you know, and for the Wasps fans in the room that say I'm being bitter because Wasps were a better team than we were, they were definitely a better team than us. 9 times out of 10. However, I've been on the field when a Wasps prop, who I won't name because he's my friend and it's not fair to him, got told, I came off the bench in a playoff game, can't remember what year, can't remember what stage it was. It was a big game. And I came off the bench fresh and really pumped because I'd been dropped and we were about to dominate in the scrums. That much I was pretty confident about. I wasn't a great player at this point, but I could push. And we were going to move forward in these scrums. And someone approached this prop, a member of the medical staff, one of the staff approached this prop, gave him the word and actually said, this is it, time to go off. And he said, no, he was resisting it, saying, no, I'm not doing it. And they pulled his arm and said, get off. And he walked off and he apologised to me after the game for it. So please don't tell me it's bollocks. This stuff did used to happen. It still happens. And, you know, guys who are in charge of the Welsh team who are mad at the French for having done it. I think it's awful what the French did, what they allegedly did, what I think they did. If they did it, it's awful. If they didn't, I'm sorry.
Can't prove it, though. That's going to be the issue.
Can't prove it. And, you know, everyone seems pretty confident. I seem pretty confident on it. But I feel like the French cheated first. Welsh tried to cheat, couldn't quite manage it. And then the Welsh slagged off the French for cheating.
I once propped in sevens. That's my story. Okay.
How'd it go?
Yeah, right, actually. Pretty good. Whoa, enough, Shanks, enough.
Back off, but yeah, social.
So apart from Wayne Barnes not giving Wales a penalty try, I thought he did a very decent job in very tough circumstances.
Here's a thing. Nugget, our mate Nugget, the pod's friend, Martin Williams, he said on the TV, like, I was in a pub so I couldn't hear the punditry. He said that Wayne Barnes lost control.
Yeah.
The next day, go on Twitter, guys, if you've got it, and check out what he said. I said, I watched it again, and I think I was wrong. I think Wayne Barnes did a really good job. Something on those lines. I love that. That is a proper star. That's a proper legend of the game, the world game.
I think he just
saying, I got it wrong.
I think he just got abused on Twitter, mate.
I didn't even watch it again. Yeah, I got it wrong. Stop abusing me. But anyway, I've watched it since, and I thought Wayne Barnes did a great job. And he doesn't listen to this pod, so we can say what you want. He's a dick. No, he's not. He's nice.
Okay, so that brought us straight into Ireland, England, and well done to ITV for holding off the kickoff time so people could watch
it. Yeah. Straight in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was actually in terms of quality of rugby, it probably wasn't the best game. In fact, it wasn't the best game, but I thought it was fantastic spectacle. It was just brutal.
I mean, Ireland just managed to stop England to go forward
all
together. Mate, take your hat off to Jarrod Payne coming back from that long injury layoff and having a performance like that.
Yeah, and 25 minutes in, he was blowing out of his arse. He was absolutely hanging.
Peter O'Mahony was meant to be on the bench for Jamie Heaslip, comes straight in and has near enough gone to first choice Lion.
Never seen him have a bad game though. I don't know.
Maybe not first choice Lion, but he's on that plane.
Ali Eakin tweeted me. I tweeted something about Peter O'Mahony.
Mm.
And Ali Eakin said, how is he ever not in the team? And I'd go along with that. I really would have him in the team over, I mean, he's not an out seven, but even over O'Brien this season, over Heaslip, I really would. I think he's magnificent.
You wouldn't have him over CJ Stander?
No, I wouldn't, no.
No.
But I'd have him up, for me, he's level pegging with Stander. He's as good, but I'd have them both as starters. I think he's just a force of nature. Get him in decent enough physical shape and he's an absolute machine. I love watching him play.
And Sexton was again good at 10, takes the ball so flat, gets hit a lot, but that's because he takes it so flat.
Yeah, what
but just orchestrates it well though.
Yeah. You
know, kicks the corners well, gets his back line going. Gary Ringrose defensively was unbelievable.
He's great, isn't he?
Mm.
Don't compare him to Brian O'Driscoll.
I haven't.
You just did.
I said defensively he was brilliant.
You said he's the new Brian O'Driscoll. You just said it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, mate.
What I like about Johnny Sexton, and you'll know more about this boy, is that his game is... He has great variation and great leadership, but he takes it hard to the line. Takes the ball flat to the line. He got smashed at the weekend. He gets smashed all the time. And he's been injured a lot. He just got to stay fit to get on that Lions trip. And not once does he bottle taking that ball to the line and just catch and give and stay deep in the pocket. He has got proper guts, that bloke.
Do you see him giving Haskell a little kick, getting back into position?
That's fair enough though, isn't it?
Haskell buried him earlier.
Yeah, that's all right. You can give Haskell a little kick.
Yeah.
Hask doesn't even know he did it.
But defensively, Ireland were the best I've seen him. And England were coming off the back of that game against Scotland where everything was attack. It was full on attack. There was absolutely no space there for any of those England players. Any of their go forward, you know, Vinopola was Ian Haskell was in to give them that go forward. It was just chopped down straight away. The amount of times they got held up in that choke tackle. It's not really a choke tackle. It's just players running too high and other players coming in and sealing off the ball, keeping them up. But
I thought Ireland were fab. They were kind of...
Ireland deserved the win, mate. They deserved the win, but England are worthy championship winners.
Do you know what I love? I love the fact that... I remember last time it happened to England, didn't it? A few years ago. They won the Six Nations, but lost the Grand Slam game in Dublin.
Yeah.
And
might have been 2011.
Something like that, yeah. And I think Phil Vickery was punditing, and Phil Vickery, like a bit of a... He's a mate, but he's kind of a bit of a hero of mine, you know, just a great fella. And I played for England a couple of times only, but with him, and he had a massive, you know, massive impact on terms of how he behaved and all that sort of stuff. I thought he was a great guy, but... They were England boys were having a few beers and celebrating after that game, having won the champs but not the Grand Slam. And he said, you know, when I was playing, wouldn't have been seen Deb with a can of beer, would have been devastated. And how can they be celebrating? And at that time, I must say, I kind of agreed with him. Now I feel differently because I saw the England team properly celebrating, having a night out, tweeting pictures of themselves, posing and laughing and drinking beers in the change rooms. Because, all right, they lost the game. They're still joint world record holders, Six Nations winners, second season in a row after that World Cup. And I actually love the fact that Eddie Jones said, cut loose, boys, and get stuck into it. I love that. It was good. It
must have been hard for them as well, you know, off the back of... No one likes to celebrate when you've lost.
Yeah.
And they had to go out there. But look, they consistently, through the tournament, they were the better team.
Yeah.
worthy winners, definitely. Oh, yeah. Right, just on... No, not actually. Yeah, all right. Would you use the Ford Farrell 10-12 partnership for the Lions?
No.
Okay, so my theory, right? Well, not my theory, my point of view is Farrell on the Lions is the best 12 and the best 10.
Yeah.
I think he has to play 12. I think if the Lions stand any chance and beat New Zealand, it's not going to be, you know, physically dominating them. It's going to be making them think. It's going to be about creating space. More often than not, the space is in the wider channels, so you have to create that space. In order to get the ball to the wide channels, you need some decent passes. He is the best 12 in the Northern Hemisphere, playing with Sexton.
Yep.
My view.
Yeah. Same as my view, mate.
Yeah.
We're on the same page, boy, aren't we?
My favourite time.
Question time.
Question time.
Prime Mincer's question time. Can you say mincers on a podcast?
Say whatever you want.
I mean mincers as in the people who create mince from pieces of meat. Butchers. Butchery. Butchcraft.
Got a question here, right? I think we've answered this already. Chris Smith. I think Wayne Barnes did a good job. Yes, no.
Yes, Chris. I thought he did a very good job. I think he's the best referee in the world. Shut up. Who's better than him?
I'd say yes for the last 20. No, because it should have been a penalty try. Okay.
I'm not so sure on that.
Is a good. You'll like this, Flats. Try and keep the answer fairly short.
No.
Thundercock wants to know. Thundercock, yeah. From Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Flats, can you explain what pre-engaged actually means?
It's people who start going out and then they don't realise what it actually means to get married. People like Russell Brand, and they just go and get engaged to celebrities before they're actually got to know each other and have lived together and actually realise what a long-term relationship is actually all about. It's about work.
Okay, cool. Don't know that.
Okay.
Another question for you, mate.
Go on then. Don't call me mate. Okay.
Matt Slater on Facebook wants to know, will New Zealand be worried about what they've seen in the Six Nations?
Are New Zealand worried about anything? I'd say the one thing they'll take from the Six Nations... No, not the one. One thing they'll take is... Two things they'll take are the English midfield, what it did to Scotland. I think that will have caught their attention. And I think that the Irish defence against England will have caught their attention.
I think a couple of players would have caught their attention. I don't think they'll be too worried about what they've seen, because we've not really seen that much attacking rugby, apart from England ruining Scotland. I mean, everyone ruins the Italians at the moment, but yeah. I don't think they'd be too worried. Individual performances, like, I think they'd be worried about Stuart Hogg. I think they'd be worried about CJ Stander. I think previous to the Six Nations, they would have been worried about Vinopola and his form.
Yeah.
But possibly Farrell at 12. So individually, I think they'd be certainly looking at a few of the players and seeing them as danger men. And rightly so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we've had one from Chris Finch. Finchy.
Not, is it the Chris Finch?
Yeah.
Bloody good rep.
Banter. Firstly, two things. Shanks, I think I once saw you in West Wales wearing a Chuckle Brothers mask. Was that you?
Yeah, it was.
What are you doing?
I was Barry. Barry Chuckle. And Reese Williams was Paul. We were on a stag do and basically you had to bring a mask.
Oh, fair dues.
Yeah, so we went as Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wayne Rooney was there, the Queen.
Oh, really?
That's
nice. His question, Finchie's question.
Finchie. Did a boat race, tops off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And Tenby Rugby Club.
Reese would have looked all right with his top off in those days, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Probably still does, actually.
Yeah, he does.
He's
on Watt Bike, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
So is he a Watt Bike ambassador who actually bought his own and just does it on his own?
I like to think he bought his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the mat down as well. Does it in his spare
room. Sweat mat.
Yeah.
Instagrams pictures of it. Get over it, mate. My question, Finchie's question is, this has got to try and keep this quick, but rattle this off. We can't make any changes, all right? Out of all the players you played with in your respective careers, Flats, can you pick your forwards, and Shanks, can you pick the backs for your combined dream team? We can't be in it, by the way.
Put you on the spot.
I know. I'll go first then. I haven't thought about it, but I'm going to go Roberto Grau, loose head. John Humphreys, hooker. Julian White, tight head. Second rows, Martin Johnson, Danny Grucock. Blindside flanker. Francois Pienaar was decent, but I'm going to go Andy Beattie instead. More consistent. And I'm going to go Richard Hill at seven. And at number eight, my choice might surprise you. I'm going to go with Geraint Lewis.
Geraint Lewis?
Yeah.
All right.
Or Gerald, as we called him. G-string, G-bomb, G-banger.
He's now a coach in the 20s, I think, right?
Yeah, he looked like a shopkeeper. He was a genuinely genial rugby player. Every time he played for Bath, he was only there for 5 minutes. He was just amazing. He was the best player in our team, and they wouldn't pick him because he wasn't a big mutant and didn't bash people, but he was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, almost every time he got the ball, every time he was on the field, he tore the best defences in the league to pieces and made it look easy. He was I found him to be a properly gifted player. So right. How about you, your backs?
Okay, right. So if I go nine, I'm going to go Mike Phillips, number nine. When he was at the Blues, mate, it's probably the best rugby he's ever played.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Number 10, I'm going Thomas Castagnier.
Yeah, yeah.
From Saracens.
Yeah, lovely little Tommy.
What a player, mate. When he first joined Saracens, he was like outrageous.
It was a joke. It was a joke. Yeah, he was that good.
He made rugby look easy. Yeah. Centres, I'm going Tim Horan and Gavin Henson.
Decent. Henson, nice. Yeah,
left and right. Mate, when he wanted to, that boy could play.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also incredibly tanned and
yeah, perfect teeth.
Good looking. My wingers, I'm going Gareth Thomas and George North.
Nice.
Yeah. And 50, I'm going Lee Byrne, the bomb diffuser.
You're a bomb diffuser, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? The angle, we used to call him.
The grinder.
He just grind you down.
You've got to have Matt Perry at fullback. I even played with him.
No, the angles he hit out wide, mate. Wales love something like that now.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Like a player that just run through the ball. Because there's players that catch the ball and then want to accelerate when they catch the ball. So they're not actually running at full pace. Yeah. But you put the ball out there and he'd hit a line and just burst onto it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Just a natural eye for a guy. And what a left boot as well.
So that's our team. There you go. This is from Tom. Okay. Raby on email.
Raby. All right, boys. Rabies.
If it's an object that belongs to him, then it is rabies.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a long question, this, Tom. Trying to keep it short in future, please, listeners. We can't read very much. When Gats, mate of yours, is he, Tom? When Gats picks his Lions squad, is it simply a case of having the 35 best players, or is there room for a couple of proper good boys who'll run through brick walls for the midweek team?
Gats, right? The Irish boys used to call him Gatty.
Gatty.
Paul Wallace was telling a story about how Gatty wanted to make the Irish team look scarier.
Yeah,
so he made them all put fake tan on.
Did he?
Yeah, but Wally's calling him Gatty.
Hey, Gatty.
Hey, Gatty. Don't know what accent that was. I think he'll pick two or three just good lads to have in a squad environment. People that, you know, will create a laugh, will create a buzz around the camp.
That's why I think
players that will be funny.
Yeah, that's why I think Haskell's going. Haskell will go. Partly because he's a very good player, but partly because he is an unbelievable tourist.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Doesn't sleep.
I'm not sure after that weekend, because I think so many other back rows stood out.
Yeah.
I know it's not just over one game, it's over, you know, the last year, but Hask has been injured a bit as well. But I know, I agree with you in terms of characters. Yeah. You need someone like that.
He is out there.
Bring that squad together.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they don't room together. I mean, hopefully they room together.
Yeah, they are rooming together.
Yeah, they didn't room in 05.
They are rooming together. That's what Gatsy said.
Yeah.
Made that up, but it's just offering some insight. No, he did say that, didn't he? Right, Alid Ellis on Gmail. Hi, lads. Effectively, which player can neck a pint the fastest that you know? I'm going with Andy Beattie again, the Bath rugby blindside. I've seen him neck a pint quicker than you can chuck it on the floor.
Opens up the gullet, yeah. Pours it down.
He doesn't. He gulps it, but it's just two or three. Really sucks it. He doesn't let it pour. He sucks it out. He's like, we used to call him Avatar, because it was like a genetically, what do you call it, CGI character. Like, he's not real. He picks it up. It looks like a thimble.
Oh, right.
And he just sucks it down like he's on TV.
Scott Grinnell.
Oh, yeah, I bet he can.
Yeah, we used to call him the Dementor because he sucks. Because that pint coming out of the glass was like,
yeah,
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Really good. All right, I've got a question here from...
Last one.
No, we've got a couple, mate.
All right, mate.
Donna Devlin. She says, looking back over all the games in the Six Nations, this is on Twitter, what game would you have liked to play in?
England-Scotland.
Okay.
Battered them, loads of rest after each try.
Might have got, yeah. Might have got a try as
I
well.
I could have scored.
Yeah, well, you, if you weren't scored, you would set up a couple. Like Phil Christopher's.
when I put Christopher's in, yeah. Netflix, put him in.
Mine might have been Wales-England, because might have won if I was playing.
Ah!
No. Wales-Ireland, I would like to play in. Just because that emotional high that must have been after the game, when the pressure was on, and
yeah,
that relief. Can't beat it. Can't bottle that stuff up and use it again, can you?
You can't, Tom. Once it's gone, it's gone, isn't it, boy?
Yeah. Last question then.
All right, last one then. All right.
Last one. Captain Chaos wants to know, where do babies come from? But you spelled babies wrong, so I'm not going to answer it. There's one here from on Facebook from Jonathan Williams. He's got a real concern for the future of Wales, needing to play their best players in Wales. So the likes of Keelan Giles, Steph Evans, Tom Youngs is playing outside. So he's got to worry that, you know, these players are going to leave Wales because they're not really going to look in the Welsh team. See, do you know what I think? I've said this before. There needs to be more incentive to play for Wales. Now, the incentive in England is £22,000 when you play for your country, win, lose or draw. Mm. So a lot of players will stay because monetary-wise, it's worth it to them. In Wales, they don't have that type of money, purely because they're not as rich a union as, say, England, nor can they afford it. So there has to be something. Now, I think, I really believe this, mate, that they should adopt something like Australia do. So if you want to play for your country, you have to be playing in your country, and you have to gain 40 to 50 caps playing domestic rugby in your country before you can go off and play outside.
But if they're not able to incentivise the players sufficiently to play for Wales, why are the players going to care if they leave and don't get picked for Wales?
Well, they want to play for Wales, that's the thing.
You're banking on that, though.
Well, I don't know many players that don't want to play for their country.
I know England players who've taken contracts because they're not that bothered about playing for England.
That's because they're probably not good enough, mate. Otherwise, they would be.
I made that up anyway.
Yeah. But
I know players who hate playing for England. I don't know any. There's money there, mate. There's money. How many people does the Millennium Minimum Principality hold?
76,000.
Right, there's 76,000 people there. There's 55 plus for every international. There's money there. There's money there. Pay the players more.
Still a debt on the stadium there, mate. But also...
Pay them more.
You know, these...
Also, WRU cocking up things like Halfpenny coming back. Whether he's the player he was or not, I personally don't think he is, but he's still a massive name, and it's a great catch for them to get him back when he could go anywhere in the world. But they cock it up.
If you told the likes of Lee Halfpenny, George North, you know, that they couldn't, if they played outside of Wales, they wouldn't play for Wales, I bet you they'd come back.
All right, how much do you want to bet?
If you build it, they will come.
How much do you want to bet? Leicester by 1.5.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, yeah, I can't disagree with much that you said. And it's easy for me to say pay them more because I'm being generous with someone else's money and I don't know how much they've got. But pay them more.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
All right, well, that's it really.
Hang on. Let's think of some stuff you wouldn't do for 22 grand in 80 minutes. Let's just say 2 hours. You've got to put 2 hours graph. What wouldn't you do for 2 hours for 22 grand?
Lie in a coffin with snakes.
Wouldn't you?
No.
What if they weren't venomous and they could not kill you or hurt you?
One's enough for me, mate. No, I don't think I could, mate. I hate them. I hate what's the bond where he's in?
Yeah,
Live and Let Die. I hate Live and Let Die. I hate Raiders of the Lost Ark when they've got snakes all over them.
Yeah, but 22 G's.
Don't need the money, mate. I've got loads.
You could buy the house next door in Wales for that.
I've got loads of money, mate. I mean, it's tied up in my mum and dad's house. I hate snakes, mate. What would you not do?
I'll tell you what I wouldn't want to do.
Be quiet for an hour?
Yeah, I could not talk for 2 hours is what I couldn't do. What I wouldn't want to do is
wear fitted jeans.
Hey, on that, this is I forgot I wanted to bring this up.
Wear something not out of Barber catalogue. Brush your teeth.
Stop eating dog shit sandwiches. What I'm going to tell you was that, you know, we met, you know, Gavin Henson's an amazing Nick and he's like slim and toned and brown.
Yeah.
And I'm 21 stone five and I'm fat and bald.
No, but it suits you.
He turned up for that phone, that video thing we did the other day, wearing black jeans, black trainers, black everything. Since we saw him, I bought some black trainers and black jeans. Really? And they're like, and the jeans are like a size too small. My missus is like, they're actually better because your jeans are, because my jeans start off tight and then my legs are so big, I sit down and it stretches them and then they look baggy. So I've gone like, they're not skinny, but they're like skinnier than normal.
I mean, in all fairness, mate, the hardest thing would be trying to get them over your calves, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But now, maybe next week I'll wear my black, all black outfit to see if I look like Gab. I wasn't gonna tell you, I was just gonna turn up. But then I thought, I'm buying a black leather jacket just for a gag. And I couldn't find one that fits for less than a couple of hundred quid. I was like, mate, this is too expensive.
You're gonna look like some sort of seal.
I don't know. Like Ross Kemp on Gangs in Bradford and Avon.
So anyway,
what I couldn't do for 2 hours, what I wouldn't want to do for 2 hours for 22 grand is read any more of Roberto Duran's autobiography. It's the worst book I've ever read in my whole life. Absolute bag of balls. Don't read it. It's awful.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, perfect.
So, should we call it a day?
Yeah, all right, mate. It's late enough, isn't it? It's half past 10.
Yeah. Night, everyone.
Bye.
Ta-da.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. See ya. Bye. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.